It's Tuesday morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, the Summit County Council meeting tomorrow, starting in work session at 1:10 at the County Courthouse in Colville. And on the phone, via cell phone here, and held up to a microphone with a preview, I have County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning, Tom. Can you hear okay?
I can hear you just fine. It sounds like my morning is going a little bit better than yours.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes from here. Quickly, the Summit County Community Market is being run by the Health Department for fruits and vegetables starting up next week. Is this just for information, or did you want some decisions from council?
There's no decision to be made. We started this as a pilot last year through the Health Department. It really is born out of the fact that the other markets that happen in the county don't accept SNAP payments. So this gives the opportunity for those folks that do use those means in order to pay for groceries to have fresh fruits and vegetables available from local growers.
Okay. The annual independent audit for 2017 looks like a clean report. Any red flags in the report?
No big red flags. The one area that the auditor did want us to watch over the next few years. We've been buying a lot of property, either for open space or for other purposes, and they just want to make sure that those are recorded and clearly owned as assets by the right entities. So in the case of open space, usually that's Snyderville Basin Rec District. So they just wanted us to work closer between the auditor's office, the attorney's office, and ourselves in order to make sure that's clear on our asset list.
All right. Acting as the governing body for Mountain Regional Water District, the county council is scheduled to authorize a bond of up to, what, $3 million?
That's correct. And you've heard about these projects earlier in the year. One of the things that will be covered by this bond will be some of the improvements that are needed in order to bring in community water, the water system, one of the water systems up in the canyons, into the Mountain Regional System, and provide some redundancy for that system, as well as they continue to work on improving the meters to different properties that use Mountain Regional Water so that we can be better at billing in the future.
Okay. And again, not all ratepayers are going to have to pay for this, or are they?
Well, no. Again, the idea around the bond related to community water is that the community water ratepayers will be paying a larger assessment in order to support part of that bond.
All right. Let's see. There's some property at Oslo Lane. This is in Bear Hollow. Apparently, the county has a right of first refusal to purchase this property?
Yeah, so some of the history behind this was one of the first projects that the county was involved in where they placed deed restrictions for affordability reasons on property. And the Bear Hollow project and its different phases were part of that. Over the years, we figured out that our deed restrictions probably are not accomplishing what we want them to accomplish. They have some loopholes in them that some owners have been allowed to do nightly rentals, or they're charging rents that are higher than what would be considered affordable. So within those deed restrictions is a ability for the county to have a first right of refusal on purchasing those units, which would allow us at this point to adjust those deed restrictions so that they stay affordable over the lifespan of those projects. So we're suggesting to the council some methods of going about that.
So are there other Bear Hollow parcels that you could do this with, or you have to wait until they come on the market?
We have to wait for them to come on the market, but there are some others. We know of two that might be coming up in the next 6 months to a year. And therefore, we want to not only provide a method that would work for this case, but we would like to provide a method that also allows us to do this with more units over time.
Yeah, so where do you get the money to buy the house?
Well, one of the places that we could use is our in lieu fees. We have some fund balance built up there, about $450,000. But also we have the ability to enter into a relationship with Mountainlands Community Housing Trust, who could do the financing around that with some minor dollars from the county in order to help buy down some of those costs to bring them back to their affordable status.
So is there a recommendation to buy it outright or to work with Mountainlands?
Well, I mean, there's also the idea that you know, we've talked about in the past of possibly just buying some of these outright in order to have units available for county staff workforce to have affordable units. So I think we'll be talking about all of those. There may not be a decision made at this point. I think if I were recommending right now, I'd prefer to enter into that relationship with Mountainlands Community Housing Trust because I believe it will stretch our in lieu fee fund balance as far as possible so that we can affect more of these units in the future.
All right. At 4:30, possible action regarding your decision for the Commons at New Park, final plat and site plan. Community Development Director last week, Pat Putt, laid out the issues for us a bit. But can you explain the format of the appeal?
Well, the format of the appeal will be that, myself and Dave Thomas will give a presentation on my decision. And then the applicants for the appeal or the appellants will have their time to explain their side of the story. And then the council will start discussing. This one has been, it's had levels of controversy as it progressed through Planning Commission to me and now to the council. So I expect some pretty broad and lengthy discussion about it.
You've set aside just an hour for that. Is that just to get through the the two sides? Would the council?
Yeah, it's probably to ensure with the council that we have a complete record first of all, because that's one of the things that we've been working very hard on to make sure that our record is complete before we go into these hearings. And then to hear the initial presentations from both sides of the appeal.
So you don't think a council is scheduled to make a decision on this tomorrow, are they?
Well, they're able to, in from the standpoint of how it's on the agenda. But my experience would tell me that perhaps they won't.
Okay. Let's see, later on, the resolution for improvements at the Utah Olympic Park and the speed skating oval in Kearns, with Summit County acting as a conduit financer. I guess I'm surprised that this hasn't been approved until now.
Yes, I think we all are. We've had it on our draft agenda for about the past 2 months, practically every meeting, and we've just been waiting for our bond counsel and the financer to get the final paperwork, and there was really no hurry to do that, so they've been very deliberate about it, but I think we have the final paperwork now, so we're just taking the final action.
Following that, there are some easements being considered from the Snyderville Basin Recreation District to the Utah Athletic Foundation. Is this tied to all of this?
It is. It's exchanging property essentially in order to allow some property to go to the Utah Olympic Foundation in regards to their workforce housing that they're building right now. I think there's also some of that property has to do with drainage, and then some might also be benefiting the rec district. As far as their trail development.
All right. Following the meeting, council scheduled to go into a closed session to discuss a property acquisition. Any updates with regard to the Oscarthorpe Ranch?
No, I don't have any updates there. Closed session, we're dealing with a lot of different open space properties right now. So I believe that's what will be discussed.
All right. Hey, if you have a few more minutes, I'd like to ask you a couple more questions with regard to the tollgate fire. We have heard that the cause of the fire had to do with somebody dragging a trailer, hauling a trailer, and there's some boulders that are kind of placed at one of the corners around there, making it really difficult for a trailer to kind of get over there. Apparently, hitting those boulders, spark causing and the fire. Are there charges being prepared for the driver?
I am not involved with anything in regards to the any kind of legal or criminal actions involved with that. You'd have to contact the attorney's office on that.
All right. And just in terms of these boulders themselves, I mean, should they be required to be moved? I mean, if it happened once, it could certainly happen again.
Well, I mean, I saw a similar thing that you probably saw on Facebook about that. You know, there was questions within that post about whether that's part of county right-of-way, service area, or not service area, but HOA or private land. So I think probably a determination needs to be made about that first, as well as, you know, who maintains that road and the right-of-way there. If it's county right of way, we will certainly get involved. But if it's private land, it's probably an HOA influence on that private landowner that will have to be proceeded with at that point.
All right. We had also heard that to fight this fire, the hydrants on site had been emptied. How do they get refilled?
Well, I mean, they have a water system that's supposed to maintain pressure for fire. It's an issue we have around the county that our fire districts are supposed to be involved with. And so we're going to be following up with the fire district in order to understand who is responsible there and how we ensure that we have fire flow 100% of the year in order to deal with these issues.
Yeah, and I guess if another fire were to start in the area, I mean, would there be water to fight it?
Well, I mean, we'd certainly have water that we can bring in by tank in order to do that. I'm not sure what the current situation is with water in tollgate.
Yeah, and also lots of confusions over the secondary access. People have apparently been calling it different names. The county and fire department was calling that Crashgate Road the Red Hawk Ridge Road. We've heard it being called the Crow Loop, also the road to Stagecoach Estates. Are we all talking about the same road?
I don't think we are all talking about the same road. I think there's different accesses to private property up there. And then there's probably an official secondary access that has a crash gate. And I know that again by reading some of the social media posts by folks up there that they're attempting to identify those. I've already started asking questions of our fire warden and our emergency manager about how we can provide some inventory of those just so we know at the county and our fire districts know where these are. I'm quite certain our fire districts do, but I'd like to, you know, one of the issues that I brought up with you last week was that, we have a lot of turnover of property here in the county, and I think some of that institutional memory tends to leave us rather quickly. So I'd like to provide some more legacy items on our GIS system so that we could more easily identify those and the public would have access to them constantly.
All right. And finally, what was your decision last week with Promontory and the expansion of the Nicholas Clubhouse?
Sure. So I conditionally approved the Nicholas Clubhouse. The two conditions are that an affordable housing plan for the 37 units be developed and accepted by the county before building permits are issued, as well a timeline for that affordable housing plan would be developed and accepted by the county before building permits are issued.
Okay. Any public input?
We had two gentlemen that own property and actually live up in Promontory provide some comments. Just really asking questions about the status more than anything else.
All right. So the ball's in their court. They need to come back to you before they can start the expansion, huh?
That's correct.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention, Tom?
No, just the county fair continues to go on. It will kick up again Wednesday night with Little Buckaroo. And we've got the rodeo on Friday and Saturday night still. Still a few tickets available, so come on out and enjoy the county fair and the new facilities out in Colville.
All right, Summit County Manager Tom Fisher, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
It's 8:36. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Park City Planning Commission meets tomorrow, beginning with a site visit at 4:30 to the Kimball Special Events Center. On the phone with details about the meeting, I have Planning Director Bruce Erickson. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Leslie.
So the site visit is at the owner's invitation, basically just to get a better sense of what's going on. The main issues, of course, we've been talking about, noise, traffic, parking. What do you think planning commissioners will get out of the visit?
Well, I think that the Planning Commission will do their job and get accurate information about how big the deck is, how far it is away from the parapets and the edges of the building. What's most impressive, and hopefully one of your reporters will go out with this, to see the effect of the replacement of the bowstring arch roof that's between the deck and the edge of the building on the west side.
All right. In terms of the sound and noise, I mean, planning commissioners certainly admitted that they're not experts here. So what are they going to be able to discern?
On the site visit, really nothing other than the distance from all the other impacts and the folks that live in that neighborhood. There's really nothing else they can do other than distance. But it's important for the Planning Commission, because they're really careful in doing this, to understand all the aspects and distance and where the deck is and how the sound absorption works. The construction workers very well could be pounding and nailing and doing whatever they do inside the building, and that's noise as well. So we'll see what that all looks like.
So since it's a public meeting, anyone's welcome to come hear and see for themselves?
Absolutely. We just need to get them the proper protective equipment. The applicant will have some hard hats, but not a lot, and some vests, because that's what's required from OSHA to go on to an active construction site.
All right, so you'll spend about 50 minutes there and head back to the MARSEC building. At that point, then, you'll be spending some time with the Planning Commission discussing what you saw?
No, we will not. We will not do that on 638 Main. We're going to go right into the regular agenda because the applicant and the planning department are going through the final conditions of approval negotiations. So there's really no additional discussion on 638 going on tomorrow night.
Okay. Let's see, 875 Main Street. This is a condominium. The owners want to put a patio on their rooftop. So how is this any different than what the Kimball Special Events Center wants to do?
Well, it's different, but it's the same. I mean, this is a bit of an anomaly. This is a condominium that was done in the 1980s, early 1990s, with some rooftop stuff. Now what they want to do is make the rooftop deck available to the public, with putting some grills and additional hot tubs on the roof. The difference is it's not an event space. It's only available to the folks that are renting the condominiums. So, you know, it's an interesting dilemma for us. We need to minimize the impacts to the neighborhood and minimize the effect of rooftop decks. On the other hand, they have to change their condominium to make it work.
Okay, so is there a staff recommendation on this?
Yeah, there is. It roughly complies with what we're required to do with the state in terms of conditional uses, which is there are no unmitigated impacts, but we really don't know what the impacts of this could be. It's going to be like any other hot tub in Old Town. People can go stupid and do whatever they do.
So you are recommending approval or no?
Yes, we are. Well, we're suggesting approval, but we're not recommending approval.
What does that mean?
It is. It's government speak. I don't really think this is the best thing to do. On the other hand, our code does not say it's against the rules, so therefore it has to move forward.
Right. Can you put some conditions on it, though, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to be monitoring it pretty closely because this is a complete change to what the condominium was approved for and all the uses in the condominium. On the other hand, we don't really have the regulatory power from the state to just say, no, this is a bad idea.
All right. Also on the consent agenda, so it's probably not that big of a deal, though, is the King's Crown at Park City Housing Mitigation Plan. Is this for the affordable units?
Yeah, it's for the affordable housing, and it's part of what the Housing Authority and the Housing Resolution requires. The Planning Commission needs to give a recommendation to the City Council that new projects have complied with our housing ordinance. So there's no issues. They're delivering more housing units than what's required for their particular project. So Rhoda Stoffer and Jason Glidden, the housing managers, are good with this, and we're good with it as well. We just want the Planning Commission to understand what it is they're being asked to do, and there are no issues on that.
And then what about the Flagstaff Master Plan development? What are we talking about, some technical report and mitigation plan?
Right. We're talking about technical report number 15, which in my world is really important, but for the rest of the world it doesn't matter. This is a construction mitigation plan, and it has to do with soil hauling off the site. They've identified some new sites inside Deer Valley's master plan to put soil from the last remaining houses of Red Cloud and the last three parcels of the Empire Pass master plan without hauling them off site. For the most part, we're comfortable with the plan. There are a couple of changes. We've established additional regulations on how they place the soil on the ground and making sure that it won't move during storm events and revegetation, and making sure that the soil placement does not look like a big pile of dirt when they're done.
Okay. Bruce, anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, I do. One of the hardest things the Planning Commission and the planning staff has had to face is the dichotomy between trying to allow people who want to have recreational vehicles in their yard and the loss of parking that results from that and the ability to provide for accessory apartments, which also increases the parking demand. So there's a huge problem there between those two conflicting values. So tonight from 5:30 to 6:30, planners Moreland, Jackson, and Newberry are hosting an open house at the library to talk about RV parking, the whole sort of gravel parking, what do we do, how do we do this discussion, and they're very, very good at it, but it is a huge dilemma for us, Leslie. If the City Council chooses to deregulate accessory apartments, we need to be able to provide for parking for that. If they choose to deregulate recreational vehicles, those recreational vehicles will detract from the available parking for accessory apartments. So it's a conundrum, it's a dilemma, it's a philosophical value issue, and we'll see what they want to do.
Okay. Hey, Bruce, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie. I'm sorry about the phone call. That's my fault. I'm going to a meeting that I have to go to.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your time.
Yep, bye-bye.
Park City Planning Director Bruce Erickson. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. This month's guest for the monthly Lunchtime Learning is Audrey Lee. She'll be talking about the secret to success at Wednesday's presentation. Audrey joins me now on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So lunchtime learning held on the second Wednesday of every month at the PC Mark from noon to one. Tell us just a little bit about your background, because you've been you've done several of these in the past.
I have, yes. I have my PhD in exercise sports science and my master's degree in nutrition, and I really focus on performance. How do you perform as an athlete doing your athletic endeavors, and how do we perform in our other roles, our job, you know, as a parent, as family member, just performing our best, and what can we use to enhance our performance?
So as I mentioned, Wednesday's theme, The Secret to Success. Again, yeah. Are we talking about anything in particular? I mean, is this somebody looking for success in their personal goals, maybe not necessarily their professional, or a little bit of all?
A little bit of all. So I catered it specifically for the clientele that go to the MARC, the recreation center. But, you know, success means different things for different people. It could be eating better, losing weight, gaining weight, or improving performance, those that are more performance-oriented, getting faster, summiting higher elevations, things like that. But so a specific goal, and to be successful at that goal, that's something that doesn't just happen. It's something that you plan for. And I'm really wanting to talk about the secret to success, that it really starts in your head. It begins in your brain, that whole brain-mind-body connection. And so that's what I'm going to be sharing on Wednesday.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about how somebody trains their brain for success.
Sure. Yeah. So it's really about your mindset, being conscious and deliberate with your thinking and then your actions, right? Because it all starts with the thought first, and then we take action. So starting to notice, what are we thinking about? That if one of the common goals for people is to improve their eating, right? Or maybe another thing that I talk more, what exactly does that mean? So to make healthier food choices. Okay, well, what does that mean? Choosing more plants in your meals and less processed foods. Okay, well, then what steps can we make in order to do that? And we need to keep reinforcing that type of thinking first so that you can take the actions necessary.
And that's really interesting, I think. And when we think about eating, how mindless it really can become.
Right. So many things can be so mindless. And so that's really, you know, where it starts, is being conscious, being mindful, paying attention to your actions. What are you doing, right? And not judging, like, okay, that's what I've been doing in the past, which is not helping me to be successful. So I'm going to make some change. And it might just start with the thought of noticing the thought. So this is behavior modification is really what I'm talking about. And behavior change, right? It begins with your brain. What are you thinking? And when you can just notice that before you take the action, you notice, oh, typically I would go and just grab this without even thinking about it. But do I really need this? Do I really want this? Is this going to help me get closer to my goal for success, which means to be eating healthier?
And it's not just a brain mindfulness thing. It's also, you say, nutrition-based. I mean, that there are things that you can eat that will help. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, so brain-boosting foods. Brain-boosting foods. So we want to really be more conscious of what we're doing. And by being more conscious, taking conscious steps to enhance our brain health. And so there are foods that our brain really will thrive with. And so the number one is omega-3 fatty acids. I'm sure you've heard of it, right? In media, nutrition news, all kinds of stuff, omega-3 fatty acids. They're fantastic for the brain. They help improve memory. And great sources are seafood, fatty fish, and some plant sources are seeds, flax seeds, pumpkin seeds, walnuts. And just incorporating these foods into your daily routine, right? Because this really is all going back to, what is your routine? What is your goal? What is your daily routine? Or what are the actions that you're taking? And are they supporting your goal? And taking each step, which could just be starting the day with an omega-3 fatty acid along with your multivitamin, something like that.
Okay. Again, performance coach Audrey Lee will be this month's presenter at the PC Mark's free lunchtime learning. It happens Wednesday, August 8th at the Mark from noon to 1. Audrey, hey, thanks again for your time.
Thank you so much for your time.
Hi, I'm Justin Johnson, director of Canyons Golf and proud supporter of KPCW. Canyons Golf, managed by Park City Mountain, is a par 70 course featuring 550 feet of elevation change in a mountain setting. Tee times and season pass information is available at canyonsgolfcourse.com.
KPCW supporters, your nonprofit community, public radio stations, summer pledge drive, and online auction is August 20th through August 24th. You can bid on amazing online auction items all week at kpcw.org or call in a pledge. Don't worry, we will give you the number. Your contributions make public radio possible in Summit and Wasatch Counties. KPCW summer pledge drive, the difference being you. Give to KPCW.
KPCW News Time now, 8:51. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, as the old adage says, laughter is the best medicine. And the annual fundraiser for People's Health Clinic coming up August 31st. In the studio with details, I have Executive Director Beth Armstrong along with Whitney Aldridge. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Thank you.
Good morning.
So, Beth, you want to just kind of tell us when, where, and how much?
Yes. Well, the great news is that out of the 400 tickets that we had available, we're down under 30 now. So if you have been waiting and want to make sure you're in town, you might want to go ahead and grab a ticket. You can do so at peopleshealthclinic.org, or you can just call me, 435-333-1850, and we'll make sure we get you a couple of tickets. Easiest way is just to go online and click on the link, and you can fill everything out there. The event is August 31st. And it will be held at the Chateau Deer Valley this year. It's a new venue for us for this particular event, but because last year we sold out and had lots of people on the waiting list, it really is the only venue that will hold 400 people comfortably. So,
all right. So, Whitney, who are you bringing in? Do you want to talk about that?
Well, no. So I am here because I am representing Sotheby's Cares, which is one of the sponsors for Beth's event this year.
So. Okay. And how are you guys helping?
So we are, we helped underwrite the event, and we are one of the sponsors. You know, Sotheby's Cares, we give to about 60 nonprofits in the Park City community, and, you know, including the People's Health Clinic, and we're happy to underwrite this fabulous event.
Okay. So why don't you tell us about who you're bringing in?
Perfect. So our headliner this year, we're very excited. Rocky Laporte is coming back, and Rocky was the winner of the last Comic Standing, and he was with us at a Healthy Laughs event about 5 years ago. And he was requested back because everyone just loved him. He probably was, to date, our best act that we've had. And then our headliner will be Bill Engvall, who not only is a local Glenwild resident, but also a pretty world-renowned comedian and just a really philanthropic guy that has agreed to come on and help us with this fundraiser. And so we can't thank him enough. It's a big deal for us to have Bill coming on.
Okay. So what's the evening like? I mean,
we start out at 6 o'clock at the Chateau. We'll have appetizers and little surprises in the evening. Then the show itself starts at 7:30. And it'll go to about 9:30, 10 o'clock, depending on, you know, you can't control comedians. David Williams is once again our MC. This is his eighth year doing it, and he's sworn that this will be his swan song, that he's retiring. But I don't know if we're going to let him do that or not. He's so brilliant at it, and he keeps the night rolling, and he has he does the monologue, which is fabulous, and then he also introduces all of the acts, and he tells you a lot about the clinic along the way. We make fun of ourselves, and laughter is the best medicine, and he does do a great job of giving the message about what the clinic does in a fun, exciting, you know, comedic way. As you know, People's Health Clinic provides health care to the uninsured of Summit and Wasatch County. And even though we have the Medicaid initiative on the ballot in November, which I hope everyone will consider supporting, that will put about 200,000 Utahns on to Medicaid insurance. But it still really won't affect the number of people that we see at the clinic. We see a lot of people who are more transient in nature, so they'll come into town 3-4 months at a time. Some of them follow the snow. Some of them follow the cool weather. Some are between jobs. A lot of them work in the hospitality industry, in restaurants up on the hill, lifties. So we see anyone without insurance, and we really want to stress that if you don't have a physician, that you make People's Health Clinic your health home so that you can come in and get your annual physicals and make sure that there's nothing going on, and we'll just check you out and make sure you're good to go.
Okay, so there'll be a big contingency then of Sotheby's?
I mean, we certainly hope so. You know, definitely some agents who very strongly support the People's Health Clinic, and that's really, you know, where they want all of their money to go. We have every agent at every closing contributes to Sotheby's Cares, and then they can allocate where they want it. So, yes, absolutely. There's definitely.
So they decide what percent they want to donate then towards the cause?
Yes. Yes. I mean, there's a set amount, and then if you want to give above that, yes. And we now have 100% agent participation at Sotheby's giving to our – we have an in-house 501c3, Sotheby's Cares. Yeah. So definitely.
Wow. Any idea how much you guys raise every year?
I mean, it varies year to year, obviously, based on the market, but we have given away over $600,000 since we started Sotheby's Cares in 2010.
Wow. Awesome. Cash bar then on the – at the event then? Is that how you're working it? Or
we do cash bar at the event, and then you can always bring – it's tables. So it's not set up as auditorium seating. Everyone has tables, so there's 10 tops. And if you didn't fill a top a 10 tables with your 10 of your friends, then we fill it for you. And you're always welcome to bring a bottle in, and you can pay the bottle fee.
Okay. Hey. All right. Hey, Beth and Whitney, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.